Is from Exodus 20. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honour your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Then the people stood at a distance, while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Continuing from Hebrews 12, verse 18. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us all on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. I'm guessing that few take much notice of the Ten Commandments these days. Half the country doesn't know what they are. The other half regrets that we don't follow them anymore. And the other half, oh, I know that's three halves, but let's not be pedantic. The other half are busy breaking the commandments with impunity. How long since Sunday felt special? When did you last hear a child honouring its mum and dad in a supermarket? Adultery is no big deal these days, it seems. And although stealing is still a crime, well, there is always corporate tax evasion. The 10 best ways, the storytelling called it. Nowadays, the idea that anyone, God, might know the 10 best ways that we should live, or let alone tell us what they are, or threaten to punish us if we don't do them, well, that idea has largely disappeared. And so society moves further and further away from its 10 commandments roots with every passing year. Some panelists on a question time type program quite some time ago now was asked some questions such as, wouldn't it be better for us if we still obeyed the 10 commandments, and answered that they thought a society that no longer followed such rigid rules was growing up, was becoming more mature. That was way before the banking crisis and Syria and SIS and AIDS. By the way, there was a lively debate this week about HIV treatments on the NHS. They prevent health problems, but isn't that just encouraging promiscuity? Why not, someone said. What business is it of the NHS to police people's lifestyles? Lifestyles. One of today's watchwords. In a free society, we each have a lifestyle and expect to be free to pursue it. We don't want a nanny state telling us how we should live. We don't want a tutting church looking down its nose at what we choose to do in our lifestyle. I don't think they have many lifestyles in places like Raqqa. Rules and restrictions still apply there, as used to be up in England until not all that long ago. Is the world better without such ways? 10 best ways, number 2. Make no idols to worship. You'll get shot or locked up in prison or tortured if you do in Pakistan or Egypt or Somalia. In the UK or in the US, you will be able to put your big house, your fast car, or your hedonistic lifestyle all over the social media and the newspapers. Or maybe even get asked to take part in a reality TV program. The 10 best ways. In such a world as this, it takes courage to stand up and to ignore the cries of hypocrisy and how quaint and interfering busybody and all the rest, and say that you are going to live a lifestyle based on the 10 best ways. Did you notice, by the way, that the story of the giving of the Ten Commandments is surrounded by the mystery of God? A blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a storm. The sound of a trumpet and a voice that made its hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. That's the writer of Hebrews describing the scene in Exodus at Sinai. Of course you noticed. Couldn't do otherwise. That's the whole point. In this story, God is on the top of Mount Sinai. He's close enough to touch, almost. And the people cower below as God descends on the mountain, and Moses alone goes up into the presence of God and brings down the 10 best ways. We don't see mountains like that anymore, do we? We fly over them. So we know God isn't just up there in the clouds. We ski down them. Well, some do, I don't. We climb them. I used to climb the hills all over England, but so many people now, it seems, climb Everest that there is often a queue to get onto the snowy platform of the summit. And we smile a little indulgently when we read of the 19th century romantic poets and the others who went in fear and trembling to the Lake District, to the Highlands of Scotland, to Derbyshire, or even to Tintern Abbey. We don't fear and tremble in such places anymore, do we? We don't fear or tremble anywhere else, for that matter. Yuri Gagarin flew into space in the 1950s and came back saying he hadn't seen God, and ever since, God has seemed further and further away. He's not in the clouds, he's not on the mountains, he's not in space, not just behind the moon, not just outside the other orbit of Jupiter, that's where the aliens live. Not in some far galaxy, the Hubble telescope didn't see him. He's not in the Large Hadron Collider, those tiny God particles that they are endlessly looking for. Did you hear, by the way, this week that it was brought crashing to a halt by, was it a weasel? Not anywhere. Not God. So, no best ways. Because if there isn't a God-breathing fire, then there is not much point in obeying archaic ancient rules, unless they can be shown to be good for your health, I suppose, or for the good of society as a whole. Otherwise, why bother? Grown up, see, mature. Religion, why bother? You've only got to see the trouble it causes in Raqqa or Pakistan or South Carolina to conclude that it is not much use anymore. The writer to the Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, to fire and gloom and storm and darkness and trumpets and all that stuff. You, that is we, that is us, all of us, who still live in the 21st century by faith in God, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem and to innumerable angels in festal gathering and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven and to God the judge of all and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. In other words, lift your eyes, your hearts and your spirits. Not so much above as beyond the mountains and the clouds and the reaches even of space, lift your eyes and your spirits and your hearts. This is the season of ascension. That picture of Jesus lifted up and leaving the earth. As though from now on, the idea that there could be a God that could be touched, even talked with on a mountain, and giving old Ten Commandments, is old hat. Of course we have matured. Of course we have grown up. Of course, in the 21st century, we do not think anymore that God is just sitting there behind the clouds or some such. Of course, we wince when an ISIS or an Al-Shabaab operative shoots or maims or proclaims in the name of God. Of course, we do not need some fiery, frightening deity on a mountain to tell us what to do. We have not come to this. But there's still something in the 10 best ways, don't you think? Okay, you could quibble over the details. As I was saying, not everybody has a marriage. But 100 years of psychoanalysis and social science and political philosophy and psychology have surely shown us that there are better and worse ways to live as human beings. And though ages have passed, we're not really that grown up, are we? With our guns and our divisions and our posturing and our greed and our love of destruction and our addictions and our tendency to failure and our limited visions, we are as childish and as sinful and as much in need of being saved as ever. And when we lift our eyes, our spirits, and our hearts, we can see just what the writer of the Hebrews was getting at when he said, "You have not come to a God that can be touched, to darkness and gloom and all the rest. But you have come, we have come to mystery, to endless love and overflowing power and unlimited forgiveness and grace upon grace upon grace, to the promise of eternal justice and peace." "Do not touch me," remember he said when she tried to touch him in the garden, after he had died and risen, but before he was ascended to his Father. "Do not touch me." But now, God is not here and not here. Now, God is nowhere and now here. Now, God is not on this mountain or that mountain, or in this religion or in that religion, or this lifestyle or this or that lifestyle, but you know the best way, the very best way. You have come to Jesus.